The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I've got a friend I've asked to call in. His name is Dr. Orrin Smith, and Orrin kind of keeps us on track of what's going on here in the great state of South Carolina. I've known Orrin for years, and I got a memo, Orrin, from your organization the other day, and I just wanted to have you come on and talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the great state of South Carolina. And then, folks, I'm going back to my whole article about this administration letting everybody in and not checking who they are. All right, Orrin, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good.
Right. Well, this week we wrote about the blue flu pandemic that is a new pandemic that is catching on everywhere, it appears, tax raising.
All right. So we're calling it the blue flu pandemic. All right. Keep going.
Yeah, the blue flu, you know, of course we know about Washington. The Biden administration is soaking pretty much everyone, not just the rich, but everyone, and trying to get everyone on the federal dole, just handing out money left and right to everyone. All of that's pretty well documented, but there's this organization that's a nonpartisan group. Just sort of, I call them bean counters. They're the accountants, but they're the National Association of State Budget Officers. And they do an annual report where they say what's going on in the state. So, of course, that was interesting to us at Palmetto Promise Institute, because we try to analyze state policy issues on a broad basis, and tax and spending is one thing that we like to look at. Well, NASBO says that during this year already, governors of blue states have called for higher sales taxes, higher personal income taxes, higher corporate taxes. They want to raise taxes on alcohol. They want to raise taxes on gaming, and then miscellaneous other fees. So this is not the way to handle a pandemic. This is not the way to handle people that are hurting from losing their jobs and having their businesses shut during the Great Suppression. And we wanted folks to know about it, because it is a trend that is finding its way into South Carolina in certain places.
And where are you seeing it show? Where are you seeing it show up here in the state, Orrin?
Well, it appears to be primarily showing up, again, this blue flu pandemic, in Charleston County. The school board down there just voted to pad their 2022 budget by an additional $5 million, which represents a tax increase. Other school districts increasing taxes are Pickens, Orangeburg, and Beaufort. And these are districts that are going to be receiving funding directly from the Biden administration as a part of this American Rescue Plan. For instance, that Charleston district we discussed that saw the need to raise their taxes is going to receive an additional $249 million in federal aid. So not only are they drowning in cash from Washington, but they still think they need to raise taxes on people. And this is just absolutely unbelievable. So one thing for it to happen in Wisconsin or Michigan or even Virginia, but in South Carolina, it's just an outrage.
So they are going to receive almost $250 million in Charleston, and they want to go ahead and soak the taxpayers for another $5 million?
Another $5 million, which represents a total of $32 million over their budget for the previous fiscal year in that school district.
So Orrin,
we thought it was time to raise the alarm.
Okay, so Orrin, let me ask you. Yeah, let's raise the alarm. So what can somebody do?
Well, I think people that it's been a frustration of mine since way back when you and I were working in Greenville County politics, and we won't say what year that was, that people don't think always clearly when they are electing members of their school boards. the school boards tend to be dominated by people that are sort of all in for whatever the administrators want to do, and they tend to kind of go native. They become a part of the system. They get themselves a board mailing or email address. They start to think of themselves almost like they work there. I think one thing that we need to do as conservatives in general is to look very carefully at these school board races, because we have now we have a few fewer school districts than we had before. We have about 79 school districts, depending on whether you count the two charter districts. But we need to be more and more careful who we elect to some of these boards. And I think local government as well. There seems to be much more accountability for state elected officials, those who hold House and Senate seats. But town councils, city councils, and of course these school boards, we need to think about it more and pay more attention to it.
So when you are voting for a school board member, what is the question that we should be asking them?
Well, I think there are a lot of questions. Of course, now we have curriculum questions.
Right.
I have for a long time argued that the curriculum and even the materials, the specific materials that are used in the schools, should be transparent. You should easily be able to go to a parent section of your school district website and find out what textbooks your student is using or will use in upcoming classes. And there is some talk of that becoming a reality in South Carolina, because we already have a proviso in our state budget that says that all health education materials must be placed on the website of the school district, so that parents know generally what type of sex education their children are receiving and what kind of materials are being used. That really needs to be done now for history, for English. There are all of these campaigns now to force an agenda down the throats of our kids, and we need to at least know what the agenda is and what the materials being used for it are.
All right, Oren, you're with the Palmetto Promise Institute. Give my listeners just a quick update on what the organization does.
Yes, Palmetto Promise Institute was founded by Senator Jim DeMint when he left Congress, and Ellen Weaver was Senator Jim DeMint's top staff person, and I was at the time at Palmetto Family Council, and we sort of put all of our efforts together in a desire to have an organization that was independent of any government agency, independent of the parties. Did a nonprofit research organization that would be sort of an idea machine, come up with ideas for elected officials, primarily the state legislature, so that they can know sort of where they need to be, where they need to be going on a variety of issues, from taxing and spending to health care to education, of course, and even quality of life type issues. So we are constantly looking to other states that are doing things well and comparing that to what we do here. Sometimes South Carolina comes out very, very well, but sometimes South Carolina has some work to do in certain areas. And so we want to make that easily knowable by the elected officials and put things out in a handy, simple fashion and try to drive things forward for free enterprise.
Very good. And that website, palmettopromiseinstitute.org.
Yeah, just simply Palmetto Promise, palmettopromise.org.
O-R-G. Okay, good, good. Hey, Dr. Oren Smith has been my guest. He's with Palmetto Promise Institute, and he was just sounding the alarm about what is going on out there. Oren, thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to having you back maybe next week.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you.